you would turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, and I'm going to go various places in the book of Hebrews. First of all, that was a great introduction. Thank you for that. And secondly, I usually want Brother Carl to keep on going. So, Brother Carl, you take all the time, as long as the Lord blesses you tonight, and I'll try to be brief in mind. I'm going to just skim over a few things. There's a theme in the book of Hebrews that goes all the way through it. And I give credit to the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writing this to these Hebrew brethren. Now, this is middle 60 A.D. and 65 perhaps, and not just a few years beyond that, the Hebrews are going to go through a terrible calamity. And I think some of this is probably addressing them or warning them of that. But furthermore, they were going through great persecution at that time.
That's right.
And those that had faith in Christ, had converted to Christian religion, they were suffering great persecution from the Jewish sect. And they were losing their jobs. They were separating families. All kind of things that we're not accustomed to or used to. Yet this theme that's in the book of Hebrews is a theme of warning. Warning from God to these brethren that were contemplating going back, not persevering. There is a perseverance taught in Scripture, and it all flows through the book of Hebrews. Persevere. Stay strong. Continue on. This book of Hebrews is written to God's children. Any of the Scriptures in here that we'll look at, warnings, are not warning them that they will live a condemned life in hell. It's not that at all. We heard preservation of the saints introduced this evening. And we know what preservation of the saints is. That we are preserved in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
But yet he is a strict God. He's a God that demands our devotion. And there's warnings throughout this book and other books as well about the warnings to God's people. And there's consequences for them. There's dire consequences. Mm-hmm. And so that's some of the warnings we find in the book of Hebrews. Starts out it's already been talked about some, and I'm going to skip some of these warnings, okay, for time's sake. But he starts out in the second chapter, and it's been read to you some of it, but I want to, I'll go to the second verse of the second chapter. It says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward," and it did, he said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's what the Holy Spirit is telling these people. They're under persecution and swaying and say, well, maybe we need to go back. Maybe I need to go back to my grandfather and apologize. And maybe I need to go down to the synagogue. Maybe I need to go and sacrifice again. Maybe I need to do these things because of the great persecution. And he says, and the Holy Spirit says, you're neglecting a great salvation if you do that.
Right.
Now, we as grace believers understand this word salvation, but I'm going to say it because this goes out and other people may listen, and it's important to teach these things about salvation. Salvation is a word that means something. We know it can mean eternal salvation. But in majority of places in Scripture, it simply means deliverance. And this is a deliverance that these people can have from the things that they're going to encounter and they're encountering. They think they're going through great trials and afflictions. He says, but hold on a minute. You're being delivered by understanding these things. And he goes on and says, which, the salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, his apostles. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We talked about those, some of those gifts this afternoon. I don't want to talk about those, but this is what he's talking about at that beginning. He says, the Lord came and spoke these things and taught you things. You know what I call that? You know what I believe the scripture calls that? Is the faith. The faith of Christ. The faith once delivered to the saints. Jude calls it. This is a faith, the body of belief that right. Jesus Christ brought. Whenever he came into this world, he began to teach it. He taught it to his apostles first and to those that heard him, and it was spread abroad and given signs to confirm this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what it is. It's the faith of Christ. It's called the faith in Scripture. You know, Galatians has it mentioned in the third chapter of Galatians. He says there in his third chapter, he says, but the Scripture concluded all in sin, the 23rd verse, but before faith came, isn't that a strange?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that strange, a statement? He said, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. When was it revealed? When Christ came. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about something that was shut up before time, and they were under the law. He said, but it's coming a time when it's going to be revealed. And it's revealed by Jesus Christ. He teaches it. He taught it to his apostles. And that's how we receive that faith. I understand we receive the Holy Spirit, that he borns us again, and there's a change in us. There's a change in our heart. And I believe, even believe there's in our hearts understanding and knowledge. It wasn't there before in the sense that God teaches us that there is a God.
That's right.
But you know, it's refined. And it's taught. And we need to understand that teaching is necessary to teach God's people to for them to avoid the trials and the falling and the temptations in this life. And it teaches us the faith that was delivered by Christ. What the gospel is, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it comes from the Lord himself, and it's been taught to his apostles and us. Over in Colossians, 2nd chapter of Colossians, listen to this. He says, as therefore you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in what? The faith. Mm-hmm. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught. You're taught that. As ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after commission. Traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. This is taught and it's after Christ. It's what Christ brought and delivered and gives to us. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So this book of Hebrews starts out to these brethren. Said, look, you've been taught something. You've been spoken it by Christ. You've been taught it by the apostles. He said, you're going to have to hang in there. You've got to hold on. It's worth it. It's his great blessings in it. So this is the beginning, and this theme goes through the book of Hebrews. The third chapter, he starts a lesson, and fourth chapter, he continues it. He talks about rest, another warning. And here again, this is not talking about that eternal rest, okay? It's not talking about heaven itself, but it's talking about a rest for the children of God. And he goes on and says, it's still available today.
That's right.
Still available today.
Amen.
It's a rest from your labors, from your works. I understand this. I came from an order that taught that you must say this and do this and live good and live right and say this prayer. And I do it over and over and over every night. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that rest until one day that I heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ that had been taught by Christ and to his apostles and taught to godly men down through the centuries and generation after generation, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the sovereign grace of God that he saved us by his grace. And you're talking about rest. I rested for the first time that night when I laid my head down after I'd heard the truth of grace. Well, this is rest that we have in this. Rest. And then the sixth chapter. And it actually starts in the fifth chapter. He says, therefore, the sixth chapter. He tells us there's something he just taught us in the fifth chapter. And he's talking about for the time you ought to be teachers. He's rebuking them, you see. You ought to have been teachers by now. But you have need of one teaching you again the first principles and oracles of God, and are become such as one as need of milk and not of strong meat. Well, that's the scolding that they're getting. But then he starts the sixth chapter. He says, therefore, leaving the principles and doctrines of Christ. Now, if there's a period there and I just closed the book and there wasn't anything else written, we'd be all in turmoil, wouldn't we?
Yes.
And of course, he's not teaching us we leave these principles and doctrines of Christ and don't have them, don't use them, or anything else. That's not what he's saying. But he is giving us an important message here. And this scripture, section of scripture, has been interpreted many different ways. I'm going to give you mine, what I think the truth of the scriptures are. And if you differ, we can talk about it and discuss it. But it's a great lesson in what he's telling us here. He says, therefore, leaving the principles and doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So here's the theme. Let us go on.
That's right.
Keep that in mind. Let us go on. Let's go on to maturity. You say, well, I thought I was mature. If I understood if I had the foundation and the teachings of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God and the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. These are wonderful doctrines. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful principles that we need to be established in and founded upon and taught to God's people. Teach them to the young people. Teach them to the old people. These are important things in God's Word. And he's not saying not to teach them.
That's right.
And he's not saying not to understand them. And he's not saying don't use them. But what he's saying is move on. Not leave them behind, but go on to completion, to maturity. If we stop there, we're not going on. And that's important to understand. And this is his lesson. This is what he's teaching these people. He says, you understand the doctrines of grace. You've understand them. You've been delivered by them. And you continue in them. You understand them. But there is a principle of moving on.
Right.
Now, when I was in the building business for 45 years, and I took great effort to make a good, solid foundation, it's absolutely imperative that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely imperative in God's teaching that you do that. Understand the foundations and the doctrines. But if I went out there every day for a year, opened my truck door, looked out there and said, man, that's a good foundation. And I got in my truck and I left. That client of mine would be calling me pretty regular and saying, what's going on? And I'd be fired before long. So I couldn't leave it there, you see. I had to go on. I had to go on and move on to completion. And so what he's saying here is these things are a necessity. These things are important. But you're going to have to move on. This is a theme through the rest of this book. You know, we're all familiar with the 11th chapter of Hebrews, faith chapter, wonderful chapter. But why is a faith chapter there? He's telling us here, all the way up to that point, he's telling us why it's there. So he goes on and says, these are important doctrines. He said, but you've got to move on, and this will we do if God permit. We're going to move on. How many of us move on? Now, here's the principle. Here's what I think we're talking about. We're talking about knowledge. We have knowledge. We teach these things. We look in God's Word. We study it. We teach them. We preach them. We establish. We have a foundation of it. But if we do that over and over and over, the apostle here is saying, look, you're going to have to move on. Now you're going to have to apply. You're going to have wisdom to use them. And how do you use them? How do you apply them in your life? How do you apply them in your life? Well, by obeying God.
Yes, yes, yes.
By doing the things you ought to do. And the bottom line has been talked about this meeting. Love the brethren. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are important things, and this is what he's saying. You have the doctrines, but you're going to have to apply them, and you're going to have to practice them in your life with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love your neighbor? Or are you going to go limb blast them? You know about how in much errancy they are according to scriptures. You don't understand this. You don't understand that. You don't believe this. You don't believe that. Love them. Love them. You know the gifts we have that we use? That's how the church is founded. The gifts we have and we use, we apply them by exercising them and serving and loving other people. You want to know how to witness to God's people? To people out here in this world, you all want to know how to do that? I'll sum it up this way. Care for them.
Yep, that's right.
Love them. Mm-hmm. Help them. Mm-hmm. Don't go out there and say, well, here's the address of our church. If you'll come there, we'll give you help. You help them in what they're in need of. You use the gift God has given you to help people. And don't worry about where everything else falls.
Yeah, right.
So, move on, is what he's saying. Apply these principles to your life. And this we will do, if God permit. For, because it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What's that describing? Describing a child of God. This is child of God. These are God's people. He's talking to them. He's saying that something's impossible here. Something's impossible if they fall away. He says, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. You know what falling away means? It means going the wrong path. Going the wrong path. So these that have tasted these heavenly gifts and all of the things that is listed here, and they are strong in doctrine, if they don't move on, they're following the wrong path. They're following the wrong path, and there's a problem. If you're following the wrong path, it's impossible to renew them again into repentance. Seeing, here's the clue, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This is present tense, you see.
That's right.
Present tense. He's saying as long as you are doing this and not moving on, not going on and leaving these things and exercising what they're teaching in your life, you're falling short. You're going down the wrong path. And it's impossible if you're doing that. You're crucifying the Son of God afresh when you do that. If you're not using the things that you know and understand, then you're going along the wrong path, and you are crucifying the Son of God afresh. And as long as you're doing that, you cannot be renewed again into repentance. As long as you're in that state, you're going to have a miserable life. You're going to have a miserable life. Is he saying there's no repentance? Of course not. Is he saying you're going to fall from eternal heaven? Of course not.
Right.
You're giving a dire warning. A warning to God's people that you must apply the principles you know in your life, in your Christian life, in your faith walk. You need to apply the principles that you've been taught. And that's hard for us sometimes, you see. Sometimes we become pharisaical. Sometimes we become to the point where, well, you know, I know it, we got it, this is the truth, and we go on and become hard-hearted. and fall into unbelief even. That's what the problem was with the rest, unbelief.
That's right.
And so it's important to do this. And it's an effort in it. Not effort to go to heaven, we know that. But it's an effort in practicing and moving on from these principles and doctrines and going on to perfection in your life. And this next couple of verses gives an illustration of that. He says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it," who gives the rain? Or gives the rain. "And bringeth forth herbs," Lord gives the herbs. "Meat are useful for them," them is us, "for them by whom it is dressed." You dress it, you receive the fruit of it, receiveth the blessing from God whenever you dress it. So yes, we need to dress. That means to care for it, to cultivate it, to apply an effort in what, as we're living out the doctrine that's in our hearts that Christ has given us. So this is a hard thing. These Hebrews were having a difficult time with it. But he warned them, you need to do that. So we go over to the 10th chapter. 10th chapter. Told you I was going to be short, and I am. 10th chapter. There's a lot I just went through and skipped, by the way. It's great, great stuff in there. Great stuff. Talking about Christ and what he is. You know what the law was? He's going over with these people. What the law was? Mm-hmm. That's a shadow.
That's right.
The law is a shadow. It's not the very thing.
Well, that's right.
You won't go back to something inferior. And when you got the greatest thing it is, Jesus Christ, he was that sacrifice. He was that lamb. He was what your forefathers were doing all these things. They were in shadows back then, but you don't have that anymore.
No.
Why would you want to go back to it?
Amen.
A little persecution in your life? Oh, you say, well, it was tough. Any of us tough. A lot tougher than we got it today. But are we doing what we ought to do? Are we laying aside things in our life to serve others, serve one another? Are we talking about the glorious thing we have in Jesus Christ, the greater covenant, the new covenant that he's talking about is here? 10th chapter, the chapter preceding the faith chapter. And it's sad to say, so many people don't know anything but the faith chapter out of Hebrews. But he goes and says the law is a shadow of good things to come. But there's a warning here. We'll look at it, and it's in the 26th verse.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "For if we sin willfully, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." That's a terrible statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. "But a fearful looking to of judgment and fire and indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." That's fearful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible thing. And I hate to tell you, it's for us, for God's people. Again, it's not telling them that they're not going to be preserved in grace.
That's right.
He's not telling them that. He's telling them there's consequences.
Right.
There's consequences for you being falling into unbelief, for you not laying aside and moving on. You got to move on. And so, before we get to that, that 26th verse, I just want to get this, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th verses, 25th verse. Listen to the "let us's." Need a way for you to remember. He says, "let us," okay? He says, 22nd, "let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." 23rd, "let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." One of those things he just said, let us do these things, apply ourselves, is something that we need to consider, something we need to make effort to do. We need to understand this. You've been blessed to understand things so far that we have through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now he said, let us draw near and let us hold fast. And then he says, and let us consider one another.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the goal. That's the point. Mm-hmm. He said, you draw near, you hold fast, but now this is where you're going to have to move on to perfection, you see. This thing's all through it. You move on. Now, after you have drawn near and after you've held fast, now you're going to apply it. He says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. See, God's people, Christians, old Baptists, believe in good works. We believe in it, and you must do it. To have the blessings that he's talking about and the promises that he's talking about here through Scripture, we believe in the doctrines of grace, and that's the foundation, that's the principle, that's the thing that we have to have that holds us together, but then we're going to have to apply them and rely on them.
Right.
Amen.
And that's what he's talking about. He says, 25th verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Are we seeing the day approaching today? Now, these people have already told you that 70 AD was right around the corner. And they'd had warning after warning. Here were some dire warnings as well. But what about us today? We see the day approaching? I do. I see the day approaching. And now's today. Now's the day. You know that? Mm-hmm. And so we're not to forsake the assembling ourselves together, the manner some is, but exhorting one another. Mm-hmm. In so much as the more we see the day approaching, far if we sin willfully. So we come to the conclusion, well, that willful sin is not going to church. That's not the gist of it.
No.
You've got to go all the way back, you see. Let us go on to perfection. Let us continue on. Let us apply the doctrines that we have and we hold to. Let us apply them in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Let us live them out.
Right.
Let us see what Christ has done. If you, your mate, your child, your grandchild, or even yourself was out here in the middle of Highway 285 and there's someone came out there and grabbed up your little child or grandchild and put them out of the way, and they were hit by an 18-wheeler themselves. What kind of gratitude would you have for that person? We have something better than that.
Yeah.
Have something better than that. Oh, yes. He gave his life for us.
Eternal.
He gave his life for us that we could live, and have heaven and immortal glory that we can't even imagine a day coming. And so he says here, if we see that day approaching, or if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth. And see, he was warning these brethren. They had received the knowledge of the truth. They had been taught it. They knew it. They had confirmed it. But they were being persecuted and pressured and tempted to go back. So don't think it's not important in your life to make sacrifices, to serve God, and to be in the house of God, and to do the things you should do. And the most important thing in your life,
amen,
parents and grandparents, is to teach your children the importance of this. This is the most valuable investment that could ever be made in a life.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the assembly of the saints, learning the principles and doctrines of Christ and applying them in your life.
Right.
Applying them. Put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
So many people fall away. It's a miserable life. It's a miserable life. You may not see the results now, but I can tell you it's a miserable life. It's hard to tell some of these little children, and I try to do it very kindly, and their parents. We think that our children and our grandchildren are the greatest things, the best athletes, the best this and that. It's hard to stand up and say a professional sports lifestyle is not the life to have.
Yep. Yeah. That's right.
It's not the life to have. and going off and all of these things, going to college, that's not the most important thing in your life.
No, it's not.
If it's going to deter you from serving God and learning about Him and having a family and a home and a life that's Christ-like, it's the most terrible thing in your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is how important this is.
Right.
It is. And so, you sin willfully, consequences to pay. You go and sin, but a certain fearful looking of fire indignation, of judgment of fire indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Then he gives an example of Moses, how, you know, under Moses' law, people died without mercy whenever they willfully sinned. And he says, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? You know how much sore punishment? You know how much greater punishment you are worthy of?
Mm-hmm.
If you sin willfully, knowing these things, if you forsake the assembly, if you forsake applying the principles and doctrines of Christ in your life, you know how much sore a punishment you're worthy of?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're going to get it. But you're worthy of it.
Right.
And I'll tell you this much, that you can come to the point to where you even forget that you were purged from your own sins.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's a terrible thing. You know what's worse than dying?
That's
exactly right. Living. Living under that condemnation. That's a terrible thing. So, to prove to you that this was children of God, he says, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. He was set aside by the blood of the covenant. This is a child of God, no doubt. And he says, an unholy thing, and had done despite to the spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who? His people. His people. So, I'm just about done. Well, this is the prelude to the 11th chapter. And then he says this, but call to remembrance the former days. I want you to go back now in your mind. I want you to remember how beautiful it was when you understood the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. You've done it before. Said, hold on. Keep doing it. Remember those days, those former days. And he says, partially while we were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. You've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through the ringer. Hold on. Hold on. It's worth it. You have such a great salvation. That was such a great salvation. It's a terrible punishment for you to go through the rest of your life living, knowing that you have willfully forsaken this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds. And he goes on giving these things that tell us about the grave. He goes on and says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't get downtrodden. It's easy for us to do that. Don't get discouraged. It's hard. It's easy to do. But a child of God, when he applies the principles of the doctrines of grace in his life and he serves other people and he shares other people, he says, remember those things and don't cast away your confidence. You have a great reward. You have a great reward in this life. You have that. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
Mm-hmm.
What promise? Already promised rest, hadn't he?
Yeah.
I think that's the promise he's talking about. Rest. You want rest for your soul?
Mm-hmm.
It takes work. I'm sorry to say. It takes effort.
Yep.
That's what he's telling us throughout the scriptures. It takes effort. You gotta till up the ground. You gotta get out the weeds. You gotta keep on. God gives the rain, he gives the herb for those that tend to it, take care of it, to feast upon.
Mm-hmm.
We have some feasting, you see. It's a wonderful thing. So then he says, now faith is a substance, and he goes on to the great faith chapter, and what a wonderful chapter it is. What a wonderful thing. But what he's saying is, look, you're not the first. You're not the first to spend through this.
Right.
And isn't it amazing? He tells us about faith by all Old Testament characters. Yes. So they exemplify it there. You know, Abraham, you know, I had some people talking about the prosperity doctrine. You know, one chapter you can take them to defeat that is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You go look there. Man, they were sawn in two.
Mm-hmm.
They were afflicted. They were tormented. They had all these afflictions on them. These are children of God going through this life and this world. And we can face it and we can do it. That's what faith is. We can face it through faith. Abraham is as rich as he was. He did. He had a lot of wealth in this life. But that wasn't anything to him. You know what he was looking for? A city.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He'd go over a hill and he'd look out across there. Well, I don't see it there. He'd go down and around the curve and around the mountain. Where is it? I'm looking for that city. I'm going through these battles and these trials, but I'm looking ahead. I'm keeping step after step because I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that should be our sight. That should be what we look for and towards. We're looking for something better than this. And we have principles and doctrines to help us as we go. But we're going to have to apply them. We're going to have to use them.
Right.
We're not going to have to stand there on them and say, oh, you know, I believe the doctrines of grace. And, well, show it. Show it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the
right
principle. Show it in your life and live it. And help others. And believe me, you'll receive the blessing. Carl.